At this time, I invite you to pray. Our God and our Father in heaven, we are very thankful to you for life. And this morning, Lord, we have little children among us. We have some teens. We have young adults. We have grown-ups. Our scene as it is, we glorify your name, God, for each person present here today. And Lord, we have been given the message clearly. There is room at the cross for me. There is room for each of us. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did, your marvelous sacrifice. And we have come here today to celebrate you, Jesus, what you have done for us. You gave yourself for us, Lord. You gave all. And today we have come to worship you, and we ask you, for that you overshadow us with your spirit, and that each of us will worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, wash away our sins, heal our pains, mend our brokenness, make us whole. And we thank you, you have supplied all of our needs. Thank you, God. Forgive our sins now, we ask. Wash us and make us whole. And Jesus, may we see you high and lifted up. And may we worship you now in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. 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 So we have as our sermon title today, My Blood is Shed for You. And I want you to hear Jesus telling you that today personally. Jesus is telling you, my blood is shed for you. Amelia, Jesus is telling you the same thing too. My blood is shed for you. So even the littlest child, people like Malachi, Jesus is saying, Malachi, my blood is shed for you, Mahalia. Jesus is saying that to you, to each of you as children, and for the grown-ups, you know that language. Put your name there. Jesus is saying, my blood is shed for you. And put your name right there. Put your name there. That's the message Jesus is telling you today. I died for you. You don't need to die the second death. I paid that price for you. I gave my blood for you. My blood is shed for you. What is your answer to Jesus today? What is your answer to Jesus? My blood is shed for you. Now in Luke chapter 22, and that was beautifully read. Thank you, Shamari. In Luke chapter 22, beginning in verse 14 and work our way down to verse 23. The word of God says, when the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. And in verse 16 he says, for I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. The new covenant. The new covenant. Same as the New Testament. This is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. Which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of my betrayer is with me on the table. And truly, the Son of Man goes as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. Then they began to question among themselves which of them it was who would do this thing. Today is a day of self-searching. And that came up in Sabbath school. So I was kind of smiling in Sabbath school because Sabbath school was preaching the sermon for me, make life easier. Today is a day of self-searching. Let us celebrate the Lord's Supper with the greatest reverence, respect for God, and also with introspection. Let us take a look at ourselves. Now, when Jesus affirmed to his 12 apostles what Bible prophecy said would happen to the Son of Man, they began to question among themselves. They're asking among themselves, who would do such a thing as to betray their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? But human nature, anywhere on earth that is unaided by the divine, will do just such a thing and worse all over again. Human nature is cruel. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 4 on down through to verse 6, Paul says, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they do what? They crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. But for the grace of God, there go I. Except for the grace of God, you and I would do the same thing and crucify the Son of God again. The problem is self-centeredness, conceitedness. It will not admit that we are capable of doing exactly as Brother Judas did. He sold our Lord for 30 pieces of silver. No, you don't expect me as a pastor to do this. I was born and raised in wedlock, grew up going to church on Sundays. Then God led me to the scriptures and I saw the Sabbath and I became a Seventh-day Adventist. You don't expect me to do that. I'm good pedigree. I am nice and cleanly shaved. I have a nice clean jacket on. I smell. You don't expect me to do that. Yes, you do. Human nature is terrible. It's only the Lord Jesus Christ makes the difference in our lives. Amen? And what a Jesus is Jesus. He saves to the utmost those who come to him by faith. What a Jesus is Jesus. What great love for us. Judas sold our Lord for 30 pieces of silver. And Peter denied Jesus 3 times before the early morning rooster could crow. This was the same Peter we heard about in Sabbath school that was saying, Lord, I will die with you. Though everybody else quit, Lord, I'm the one that will stand with you. That's what Peter said. And we saw him before the rooster could crow, he already denied Jesus 3 times. 3 times. Now, the closer I draw to Christ, you know what I do? The more I distrust myself. And through prayerfully studying my Bible, I also know that you should distrust yourself too. Amen. God himself has this to say in Jeremiah chapter 17, 9 and 10. He says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give to every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Did you know that it was a friend who was going to betray the Messiah? You certainly know that the Bible describes the betrayer of Christ as well as the Antichrist, the man of sin, as the son of perdition. This makes the Antichrist also a betrayer of Christ. Now, look at what the Bible prophecy said long ago in Psalm 41 and verse 9. Even my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. So we see Sabbath school playing out in the service here again. It couldn't be a stranger that betrayed Jesus.
It was going to be a familiar friend who ate his bread. That was going to lift up his heel against Jesus. And in Mark 14, 17 through 21, in the evening he came with the 12. Now as he sat and ate, Jesus said, "Assuredly I say to you, one of you who eats with me will betray me." And they began to be sorrowful and to say to him one by one, "Is it I?" And another said, "Is it I?" He answered and said to them, "It is one of the 12 who dips with me in the dish." What a betrayal. Prophecy had long ago said, "The one who ate my bread." Jesus here says, "The one who dips with me in the bowl, in the dish." That's the one who's going to betray me. And then it goes on. "The Son of Man indeed goes, just as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had never been born. It would have been better for Judas Iscariot not to have been born than for him to betray the Son of God." Jesus said, "Woe to that man by whom Christ is betrayed." There may be exceptional cases, but on an average, someone like Judas who dies by suicide is forever lost. Judas chose to be the betrayer. It was by choice. Judas should have surrendered all to Jesus. Instead, he surrendered all to the devil. Whenever you hear the word of God and fail to take a stand with Jesus, the devil, who is such a liar, and there goes the word from Sabbath school, a crook and a deceiver, he whispers doom in your ears. Today, suicide is skyrocketing. And that is because people are ignoring Christ. There's an epidemic across the United States in suicides. Just about 2 weeks ago, I think tomorrow marks the 2 week. One cup right over there in Owego, neighbor to members of the church in Tioga. The husband, they were separated for some time. He had just moved back in with his wife. Took her out for a couple of days and all that good stuff. And then they're at home. And he told her, go to sleep. Go get some rest. And when she went to sleep, he went in and shot and killed her. And then shot and killed himself. Their 19-year-old was in the house. Woke up to the gunshots, found both of her parents dead in a murder-suicide. That's how evil is presenting itself in today's society. And there is a Jesus that saves. There is a Jesus that saves, but people are ignoring Christ and to their own detriment. We cannot ignore Jesus and be the same. We either choose Christ or we choose the devil. And God is saying today, choose me. Jesus is saying, my blood is shed for you. Choose me this day. In Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, Paul says, "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion in the day of trial in the wilderness. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ, if we hold fast the beginning of our confidence, steadfast to the end, while it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion." Jesus is saying to you today, my blood is shed for you. in the book Adventist Home. You know, you heard of that book. Let me see if you've heard of Adventist Home. Let me see the hands, man. Let me see the hands. Good. There are many witnesses. Let me see the hand if you have not heard of the book Adventist Home. So we have a few hands saying I've not heard of it. All right. So this book is very, very wonderful. And if you want to have a very strong Adventist home, it's good to read the book Adventist Home. It has some real beautiful principles. And look at what it says here. If you have become estranged and have failed to be Bible Christians. You know, there are many versions of Christians out there today. There are hip Christians and rap Christians and all kind of Christians. I've even met someone at the door that told me I'm part-time Christian. You have all kind of stuff out there. Seasonal Christians. You know, you have all kind of Christians out there. But we want to be Bible Christians. We want to be Christians that are based on the Word of God. And so it says here, if you have become estranged and have failed to be Bible Christians, what should we do? It says, be converted. For the character you bear in probationary time. When is probationary time? Right now. It says, for the character you bear in probationary time will be the character that you will have at the coming of Christ. If you would be a saint in heaven, you must first be a saint on earth. Man, I tell you, I've seen some of the worst criminals being put in heaven by preachers. This person could be the most notorious killer, and as soon as the killer dies, all of a sudden he was a good man. And he was the best father in town, and he had party for all the kids, and he did all this great stuff. And they put him right up in heaven beside people like Enoch and Elijah and Moses. These men who lived for God and denied themselves. And they want to put a criminal right up there in heaven beside these holy men of God. And the 24 elders who worship God day and night. They want to put criminals up there. You know the problem that would create up in God's holy heaven? Affliction would rise a second time. And God promises in Nahum 1 verse 9 that affliction will not rise a second time. So we are told here, if you would be a saint in heaven, you must first be a saint on earth. And you know the Bible text in Revelation 14:12. Say, here's the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. It says, if you are going to be a saint in heaven, you must first be a saint on earth. The traits of character you cherish in life will not be changed by death or by the resurrection. You will come up from the grave with the same disposition you manifested in your home and in society. And that's why, Jill, I really like those last words I heard from Michael. He says, I'm glad you're on my team. We need to be on Jesus' team. Amen? We need to be on Team Jesus, Team Christ. We need to be on Christ's team, because the traits of character we cherish in life, it will not be changed by death or by the resurrection. We will come up from the grave with the same disposition that we manifested in our home and in the society. I think it's good time then we begin to evaluate what is our character in our home. What is our character in the society? What is our character when no one else we know is watching? What is our character when we're absent one from another? What is your character like? I say, let us be after the order of Jesus Christ. Let us serve Jesus with everything we've got. Jesus does not change the character at his coming. I'm so glad I saw, man, I used to have big discussions in Spanish Town and this thing, you know. I'm glad I see it in right. I never knew this before. I'd never seen a statement before. But I'm glad I find out that I was not a heretic when I was telling people. No character change takes place at the coming of Christ. True, he's going to change our bodies in the twinkling of an eye. But character change takes place now. And it says here, Jesus does not change the character at his coming. The work of transformation must be done when? Now.
And today is the greatest day we have to have a change of character. We're at the Lord's Supper. And you saw the little note that Sharon put in the bulletin for us. Jesus shows up in a special way at the communion service. His presence is here to bless us. And so it says that the work of transformation must be done now. Our daily lives are determining our destiny. How we are living daily is determining where we're headed to. How we're living, our daily lives are determining our destiny. And the truth is, ready or not, Jesus is coming. And man, by faith, Ashanti, we can almost hear the chariots rumbling from heaven on its way toward the earth. The coming of Christ is much nearer than when we believe. And yet people are drunk in the world today. People are drunk. The average person does not want to hear about God. Don't want to hear about the next party and where to make the next buck. The average person has no time for Jesus in today's society. And we're so much nearer to when Christ is about to come. The truth is, if you're ready, Jesus is coming. If you're not ready, still, Jesus is coming. Ready or not, Jesus is coming. So this is why I personally do. I present myself to God every day. Because I know that back at headquarters in his heavenly sanctuary, he's doing a mighty work on behalf of all those who will approach him in faith. Every day, I work to lead someone to Jesus. That starts with praying for my own salvation. My wife's salvation, the salvation of my children. I pray for my family of origin. I pray for every church member, every guest of the churches where I serve as pastor. I pray for the wider community that each church serves. I pray for people across our entire conference, administrators, other pastors, members, guests, and everyone in our territory, everyone in our state, in our country. I pray for people around the world. I pray for my neighbors where I live. I pray for local, state, regional, national, and global leaders. I invite you to pray like this as well. What do you say? We can achieve far more than we currently do through praying. Amen? And the truth is, when you begin to pray for people, you know what happens? Your love for them grows. Your love for them grows. You know, and October 26th, we're doing a series at Vestal Hills Church. And I'm really looking forward to when we fit up here at Elmira and have our series as well. We're doing a series October 26th, and we're inviting a speaker from Colombia to be our speaker for this one. So he's going to speak in Spanish. And then we'll have a translator that translated into English. We're doing something new. We're testing the waters. We have people that are attending and they have indicated that they want to be baptized. So we want to have a reaping series so people can hear the message for a whole week. We will start on October 26th, that Sabbath, and we'll go right through to the next Sabbath. For me, that's a short series. But we prefer a short series than no series. Amen? I just got back from the Dominican Republic. And my series started on a Friday night. And we went non-stop to the next Sabbath. A whole week. And praise God, 12 people got baptized before I left. The following Wednesday, at the Wednesday night prayer meeting, 3 more were baptized. The following Friday, at the Friday night meeting, 3 more were baptized. So 18 people have been baptized so far. We were able to do one wedding while I was there. And, you know, the lady really wanted to be baptized. So she went, she got her marriage license, and we went and did their wedding for them. She's not baptized. The husband is studying. He too wanted to be baptized. But he's newer to Christian, at least the wife. You know, she attended and kind of understood, you know, the things of Jesus. One other couple texted me this week.
They just got their documents sorted out. So in another couple of weeks, the document should be in their hand. They really wanted to get baptized before we leave. People are seeing the truth and lives are being transformed. There were 13 pastors from the States that went to the DR for that series. By the time I left, there were over 150 people who got baptized. And the numbers are climbing. We thank God for what he's doing. And we know God has a work that he wants to do right here in this church and in this city. He has a work that he's at work doing. And I'm asking every church member to begin to storm heaven's gate with prayer. Ask for power that God can use us to turn this ship around right here. By the grace of God, this church will be full. There are people out there who need Jesus. And if they can get the right connection to Jesus, they'll come to church. They'll join the mission. They'll accept Christ as their Lord and Savior, and they'll go tell others as well. I believe it's time for us to go forward. Amen? And as we reflect on who Jesus is today and what he's done, I think it's time we get fired up for Jesus. Ask God for a conversion in our own hearts, you know, and to be born again. So we may achieve far more than we currently do through praying. Our love for the people grow as we pray for them. And remember, we transform lives by connecting our community to Jesus. Whenever God's transforming love fills your heart, new desires awaken. A thankful attitude replaces whining. You know, you ever meet those people in church who they're always complaining? They can never see the bright rays of sunshine outside. It's always clouds. Yes, but when we come to Christ, when his love fills our heart, new desires awaken, and we have a thankful attitude instead of a whining spirit. Humility replaces pride. God's self-sacrificing love replaces self-centeredness. We become converted, saved, transformed. Friends, any dead fish can swim downstream any day. But you have to be alive and kicking to swim upstream. And being born again, becoming converted, being in the covenant saving relationship with Jesus Christ is swimming upstream. So, what are we to do now? Peter preached it on the day of Pentecost in Acts 3:19 and 20. He says, repent therefore and be converted. Repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before. 2 Corinthians 5:17, a text you know. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Here's one for you from Desire of Ages, page 83. It would be well for us to spend a thoughtful hour each day in contemplation of the life of Christ. We should take it point by point and let the imagination grasp each scene, especially the closing ones. As we thus dwell upon his great sacrifice for us, you know what that does for our confidence? Our confidence in him will be more constant. Our love will be quickened, and we shall be more deeply imbued with his spirit. If we would be saved at last, we must learn the lesson of penitence and humiliation at the foot of the cross. As we associate together, we may be a blessing to one another. If we are Christ's, our sweetest thoughts will be of him. We shall love to talk of him. And as we speak to one another of his love, our hearts will be softened by divine influences. Beholding the beauty of his character, we shall be changed into the same image from glory to glory. 2 Corinthians 3:18. And catch this one. As I come to the close of my homily today, I want to catch this. It says, all true obedience comes from where? The heart. It was heart work with Christ. And if we consent, he, that's Christ, will so identify himself with
our thoughts and aims, so blend our hearts and minds into conformity to His will, that when obeying Him, we shall be but carrying out our own impulses. I can tell you, brothers and sisters, that this is a statement I wrestle with. It's one of the most powerful statements I've read about the transformed life, being born again. We can be so connected to Christ that when obeying Christ, we shall be carrying out our own impulses. No, that's transformation. That's conversion. That's being born again. That's being changed into the same image from glory to glory. Now, this is pretty high. That when obeying Christ, we'll be about carrying out our own impulses. This is knowledge too wonderful for me, Jeremiah says. The will, refined and sanctified, will find its highest delight in doing His service. When we know God, as it is our privilege to know Him, our life will be a life of continual obedience. Through an appreciation of the character of Christ, through communion with God, sin will become hateful to us. And you know this one, Ministry of Healing, page 143. The world needs today what it needed 1900 years ago, a revelation of Christ. A great work of reform is demanded, and it is only through the grace of Christ that the work of restoration, physical, mental, and spiritual, can be accomplished. Christ's method alone will give true success in reaching the people. The Savior mingled with men as one who desired their good. He showed His sympathy for them, ministered to their needs, and won their confidence. Then He bade them, "Follow Me." We talk much about the truth, but unless we live the truth, unless we ourselves are reaching its standard and helping others to reach it, our work will not have the approval of heaven. We do not realize how untiring are Satan's efforts to sap our spirituality. He is working mightily that the people of God may be only half converted. Then self will swell to large proportions, and there will be no revelation to the world of the transforming power of God. If this power does not rest upon God's people and move them to sanctified action, they cannot do the work in the earth that has been shown us must be done. Without this power, they will not realize their responsibility as His representatives in a world of unbelief. And Jesus said, likewise, or Luke says of Jesus, likewise, He also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood, which is shed for you." You realize that there is a greater advancement in this Bible Christian journey that we need to make. If you find yourself getting upset real easily, if you find yourself with everything just get under your skin, it means that we need to come up higher with Jesus. If you find yourself using swear words and smoking and drinking alcohol, we need to come up higher with Jesus Christ. If you find yourself just lusting after the things of the world, we need to come up higher with Jesus Christ. If you find yourself not enjoying Sabbath observance, we need to come up higher with Jesus Christ. If you find yourself enjoying any amount of sin, we need to come up higher with Jesus Christ. Jesus says, "This cup is a new covenant in My blood, which is shed for you." Now, if Jesus shed His blood for us, Do you think there's anything else he would not do or would not have done to save us? Jesus has put in everything there is that is needed to save us. It is up to us now to give it all to Jesus Christ. What is the sin that so easily trips you up? Give it to Jesus today. After all, he paid for them. He said, my blood is shed for you. Jesus paid a very high price to redeem us. Can you imagine that God, who was Almighty God from eternity past, took on human nature, and for the rest of eternity, Christ is going to be in a human form? Can you imagine the kind of sacrifice that God put in to save us? I think it's good time we surrender everything to Jesus. I think it's good time we give our lives fully into his control. I think it's a good time we say, Lord Jesus Christ, to you I surrender all. I give my whole being into your hand. We have come to the table of the Lord today to partake of communion service. We're going to break. We're going to part company. We're going to wash one another's feet, as the Bible taught us. And then we're going to come back to partake of the emblems that represent Jesus' broken body, Jesus' shed blood that he did to redeem us. I say to each person here today, right now, at this moment, give it all to Jesus. Give over your life fully to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hold nothing back. And foot washing is like our mini baptism today. So as we wash one another's feet, in symbol we are saying, Lord, you are washing away our sins. You are making us whole. So we have this song. Hymn 306 is our hymn of separation. We want to sing that hymn as we part company. And Donna is coming up to lead us in that song.